I'm on. Okay, well, Brandon, I appreciate the update there, and a lot of what we're going to be talking about today has to do with the relationships that we have within the men within this room. Get someone to read that for me, please. Oh, sorry. There you go. All right. So I want to talk about, first of all, I want to talk about relationships just in general. Just general relationships. We know relationships in the body are important. We know that we're all placed in the body by God. We know that we're all gifted to serve in the body with our individual spiritual gifts. We know we're all here with our gifts to fill in each other's shortfalls and to build up the body, and that's really foundational with relationships. It all starts with relationships. We can't use our gifts and build each other up if we don't have strong relationships. That's foundational and fundamental. So the question is, why do men specifically need strong Christian relationships? The answer is because we tend to struggle alone when things get tough. When we face adversity, when we need relationships the most, we have a tendency to become self-reliant. And Elder Jesse talked about that a little bit, right? When we're alone, we're vulnerable. We've heard this, and Pastor Marcus hit this this example a couple times, but when we're alone, we're the gazelle. We're the gazelle that's on the edge of the herd. And with a bad limb, we're in bad shape. 1 Peter 5:8, this is the second time this has been read today. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So we need to be serious. We need to understand our weaknesses. We need to be completely dependent on the Lord for strength. And we need relationships. We need strong relationships within the body. So, we've been called. We've been placed here by God. We've been equipped with specific spiritual gifts. We must be serious about using those spiritual gifts in the body. I want to talk a little bit about Jesus' relationships and compare those to our relationships before we even get started, because there's a difference, right? Think about Jesus' relationships with his disciples and the people that he had during his earthly ministry, his friends, right? Jesus was what? The perfect friend. He was the perfect friend, right? Think about that. Like all of his attributes, he was the best example or the ultimate example of all attributes that we could throw out there. He was the most generous friend. He was the most loyal friend. He was the most patient friend. He was going to give you the best advice every time, right? So that's the standard, right? Jesus is always our standard. But that's a very tough standard. Because then we have what? On the other side of that spectrum, we have us. Right. So, and you've heard Pastor Mark talk about this. And you've heard him say this about himself. It's true for all of us. We will let each other down. Right? We will let each other down. Even when we want to get it right, we're gonna screw it up. We're gonna make mistakes. We're going to fail. But even though we're going to struggle, we should strive to meet that standard that was set by Jesus. That should be our goal. So what do we know about Jesus' relationships? Jesus loved his friends. He cared about his disciples. He cared about what was going to happen to the disciples when he was gone. He grieved when they grieved. He was patient when they were slow to understand. So think about what Brian just talked about with the interaction with Peter. Jesus went out to a desolate place to pray. Peter comes out and says, hey, everybody's looking for you. Let's go back to where you're popular. Instead of saying, Jesus is out here in a desolate place praying, clearly that's where I should be too, right? So we see the disciples struggled. We see the disciples were slow to understand, but we see Jesus' response was patient. Was patient with them. So what can we do? We need to reverse our natural tendency to focus on ourselves, on what we can get out of a relationship. We've got to focus on what we can offer to a relationship instead of what we can get from a relationship. Matthew 20, 26 through 27, Jesus is speaking here. It says, "It shall not be among you, but whoever should be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave." So that's a concept that's totally opposite of what the world would tell us, right? And so that really sets the foundation for what biblical relationships should look like. So I want to talk about three of Jesus' attributes that we should imitate. We should support each other, we should trust each other, and we should learn and teach. Learn from each other and teach each other. So let's talk about how we should support each other. If someone would read this, John 11, 32 through 35. Okay, so this is Lazarus' death that we're talking about here. We can't lose sight of the fact that Jesus made it a priority to be with Martha and Mary when they needed him the most, right? And we need to remember that Jesus did not have to go to Lazarus to bring him back to life, right? He didn't have to physically be there. He went not only for Lazarus, but to also comfort Martha and Mary. He went there to comfort them. He knew they were hurting. He wanted to personally support them and be with them. Jesus was so troubled by Mary's crying that he wept himself. He wasn't weeping for Lazarus, because why? He knew Lazarus was going to be fine, right? He was weeping because his friends were hurting, right? Jesus was suffering with his friends, and he wanted to be there with them. We need to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ in their times of need, in the tough times. And we've seen that in this ministry. We've seen that in this church. But I'll tell you guys, we need to see more of it. Jesus loved his friends, but the Holy Spirit allows us to love differently than the world loves. I can tell you, my father wasn't a believer, but one of the things that he told me was, if you have a really true friend, one true friend, then you can count yourself fortunate. Well, that's probably true by the world's standards, but that's not true for our standards, right? We got a room full of Christian brothers in here, and we're all equipped to love differently. And that's what we should do. So when we start talking about build the body, and we start talking about men activities, and we start talking about relationships with the men, it starts with us. People need us the most when they're going through their toughest times. Too many times, adversity strikes, and we aren't prepared to offer support. I've used this analogy before. When that phone call rings, and that brother calls and says, I'm jammed up. I need to talk to you. We need to be prepared to answer that phone the right way. Too many times we're not. We should trust each other. If someone would read this, John 19, 26 through 27.
When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he
Okay, thank you, Barry. So we should trust each other. We see Jesus at the cross here. So understand that what Jesus knew that everything that was happening and everything that was going to happen, right? He fully understands the events that are around him, and he understands the events in earth and in heaven. He's putting aside his personal pain, and he still makes it a priority to do what? To make sure that his earthly mother is taken care of when he's gone. So this is something that we can all identify with for sure, right? We pay life insurance bills, right? We create living wills. We designate people to take care of our kids when they're young. But how do we decide? Right? How do we decide? We choose people that we trust. And how do we do that? How do we learn which people to trust? How do we know? Because we know each other. That's right, Barry. Because we know each other. Jesus entrusted the care of his mother to John because he knew John. He knew John. They were friends. They had formed a friendship over time. Was John perfect? Was he the perfect friend? No. He wasn't perfect either. But Jesus knew his heart. Jesus trusted him because he knew him. So how does this apply to us today? How can we take that example and bring it forward to today? As brothers, we need to know each other at a level that goes beyond the superficial pleasantries. It is really easy for us to come in here on Sunday morning and shake each other's hands and smile and say, "Hey, are you doing okay?" "Yeah, I'm doing good." That means nothing, guys. I mean, it's good that we do that, but it really doesn't get us to this, anywhere near this, right? How are you going to have a relationship with somebody that you're going to be able to depend on or be able to have them depend on you with that level of superficial relationship? It's not going to happen. What's the alternative? If you don't have brothers in the church that you can make that tough phone call to, right, when tragedy strikes, like Jesse was talking about, who do you call? Most likely you call, Brandon and I, we were talking about this, most likely you call the guy that was your buddy before that's probably not a Christian. How's that turn out? What kind of advice do you get then? Our relationships are based on trust. We, those of us sitting in this room, have the common bond of the gospel. This is different than having a fishing buddy or a hunting buddy. I'm not saying those things are bad, but it's so different, you can't have the two same things in the same discussion. Because once you've become saved and you start having those decisions to make on how I'm going to spend my time, and you say, "Well, I'm going to go with the guy that I used to go do this with," what do you talk about? That's the problem I run into, right? What do you talk about? Unless you're witnessing to him, you're not talking about God. He's probably talking to you about the things y'all used to do, right? Which are the things you're probably trying to forget. Our relationships aren't going to be perfect. Sometimes we're going to screw it up. I can guarantee you that. But we've got to have a sincere desire to try to get it right. Keep in mind, Jesus had a large group around him. Throughout his earthly ministry, he had large groups of people. Brian was talking about in Mark. And he had his disciples. But within that group of disciples, he had his inner circle, right? So he had John, James, and Peter that were the ones that he would be the closest to. You have to ask yourself, do I have that inner circle? It's here. It's available to you, but how do you cultivate it? And if you say, I don't have it, you got to work on it. You got to be a friend to have a friend. Is that what you said? You got to be a friend to have a friend. So how do you have a ministry here that has a bunch of guys here, and I guarantee you there's a bunch more in here that don't have this inner circle that do have it. How do you get it? God placed us all here to serve together. You serve together. You spend time together. You go to Bible studies together. You go beyond the superficial handshake and the smiles. I'll tell you something else you do. You prepare to answer that tough phone call because you don't want to screw that up and give the wrong advice. And the other thing that you don't do is when somebody calls you and says, I'm having this problem, is you don't go and tell everybody about it. God placed us here to serve together and to serve one another. We need to have strong relationships that are based on trust, and that all requires spending time together. We should support each other. We should trust each other. And lastly, we should teach and learn from each other. I'll read this since it was just not being picked up on the mic here. This is Luke 6:23. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. So this is a tough lesson here. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. And this goes right along with what Jesse Royal went through, right? We're talking about tough lessons. This is the same message that Jesse hit on. The priorities of the world are what? Not the priorities of God. Jesus used his earthly ministry to teach many, many tough lessons. The disciples learned lessons. Some of them learned them faster than others. But they learned the lessons, and then they did what? They taught lessons. They learned, and then they taught. They did it because if you look at verse 23, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for your reward is great. Where? Great in heaven. I think Brian hit on it. Jesse hit on it. I'm hitting on it. It's all about what we're looking at, right? Our priorities. We have to look beyond this world and look past the present into the eternal. So how can we imitate the disciples? How can we be teachers and learners? We need to be willing, the men of Grace Harvest need to be willing to submit to and learn from the tough lessons. That's how we grow. That's how we grow. And we all, I don't care if you've been a Christian your whole life or if you've been a Christian 15 minutes, we should all be growing. That's called sanctification. That's the fancy sanctification word, right? We should all be growing. It goes back to prayer, right? Brian talked about that. Daily disciplines. We've got to imitate the disciples. We've got to be teachable and willing to teach. So how do we do this? How do we do it? We support each other. We trust each other. We teach and learn from each other. We've talked about this. It requires interaction. It requires intentional interaction. I'm making the decision. I'm going to go to the family group on Monday night, or I'm going to go to the outing at the whatever we're going to do. Making that decision. Remember, if you think about Jesus and the disciples, what did they do? If you look through the Gospels, they ate together, they prayed together, They walked together. They did everything together because they were together. And they were more than just good friends. Good friends are great, guys. I'm not telling you that you can't have friends outside the church, but it's different. We have the bond of the gospel. We have the bond of the gospel, and we should act like it. We can't be 65 gazelles out there on the edge. We got to be 65 brothers in Christ that are in the body. We should be excited about the opportunities to attend small groups and get to know each other better and to grow together. I'll tell you, just listening to what's going on in some of these groups with the men, it's amazing to me, because God is placing people with different personalities and different interests, completely different, and you see these guys making connections. That doesn't normally happen. The hunters, stick together, and the fishermen stick together, and the academics stick together, and whatever. We have a hodgepodge because that's what the body is, right? That's the way it is. So I'm going to challenge you today. Support each other. Reach out. Trust each other. Take a chance. Take a chance. But be trustworthy as well. And then lastly, teach and learn from each other. And that's all about build the body. This all comes back, the men in this room, it's all about build the body. Because if we get it right, we're leading ourselves right, we're leading our families right, and then we've got the right relationships within the body. And as a result of that, what happens? Everything gets lifted. Okay, let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to serve together. Pray that you would help us to just love each other differently. Pray that you would just foster the relationships within the body and use them to glorify the body. And that as that happens, Lord, the whole body of Grace Harvest, the men, the women, the children, as a result of our obedience and as a result of our love for one another and love for you, that the whole body is edified and you're glorified. Lord, I thank you and I love you. In Christ's name, amen.